when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you so much for keeping Blood River Radio on the air. We really are some of our donors for the past month on the first hour. We've got a little bit more organized right now. We have people to cancel, a few technical difficulties, but we always come through. We always make it. I knew we would, thanks to people like Jay Owen and Miss Lizzie. But you've just heard that song right coming on, and the fellow who talked about South Africa, that intro you heard then, was a guy named, we call him the Lord of the Board. Yeah, he was Art Frith. Go Art Frith. I hadn't heard from him in years, but just a quick rundown. First hour, we had Rich Hamblin calling in from South Africa. He's over there. He's going to be over there till the 7th, I think, of January. This is his third trip over there. Simon was ailing tonight. Something wrong with him, sickness. He couldn't make it. Simon Rush, he's been on. But our namesake, we named our program Blood River Radio after the Battle of 1838, in which the Afrikaners, there's less than 500 of them, fought, they say, up to 30 to 35,000 of Zulus, and they didn't lose one. The white, the South Africaners, didn't lose a single casualty. They had two people with minor injuries, but that was it. But so now we're transitioning to the second hour. We have a man on. I'm really, really excited about having him on. He's highly educated, much more so than I myself. And I'm really excited to have him on. His name is Dr. Kevin McDonald. And we're also going to have one of the fellows who comes on Blood River a lot, Paul Fromm, another intellectual guy. I'll be the old RN, the trauma certified tech guy. Nuts and bolts guy running, bringing these guys in and out of the interview. But I'm really excited to have Dr. Kevin McDonald on, and he's going to be leading the second hour with Paul, asking a few questions. Paul said he's very familiar with Dr. McDonald's work, and I'm going to tell you what, I've seen Dr. McDonald in one person one time, and he may be educated out the wazoo, but I'm going to tell you what, when he gets a drink or two in there, he can surprise you, buddy. We had him on Blood River Radio, and we had a political cesspool family reunion, I called it. We had him on there. It was a great, great pleasure to meet him. Even though he's highly educated, extremely intelligent, he's not untouchable at all. And I'm really glad he's coming on tonight. I most certainly am. How you doing there, Dr. McDonald?
I'm doing just fine there.
I'm really excited about having you on tonight. And Paul is going to Paul Fromm. I know you know him. He knows you very well. He's going to help do this interview tonight. But before we bring Paul, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing quite well. We're in a bit of a deep freeze up here, but we had a really great Christmas.
Well, I'm glad you did. Well, I had a good Christmas too, and I hope Dr. McDonald did. But Dr. McDonald, or AKA Kevin, where do you want to start off talking about your newest release of your book, or anything you want to talk about? Just ready, rock and roll, take off, and we'll definitely respond to it. So go ahead, Dr. McDonald.
Well, it is true. I just put out a third edition of The Culture of Critique. It's quite a bit longer, over 700 pages, and all that stuff. And I apologize for that, because I think a lot of people are going to have their eyes glazed over before they finish it. But anyway, I added a lot of new stuff, new sections, and basically it's about the rise of Jews to being an elite in America and Western societies generally, and what that means in terms of our culture and everything else. Because once you are elite, the cultural changes that they have set in motion have been, we call, top down. You know, they start at the top with the media and the academic world and even political culture, and they filter down to the rest of us. You know, in the academic world, starting with elite colleges like Harvard and all that, and going down to lesser colleges, universities, and then finally into the kindergarten to 12th grade system. And so it gets to be pervasive, and you can't get away from it. And this whole left-wing culture that we've had since the 1960s really is a product of Jewish intellectuals, Jewish involvement in the media, Jewish involvement in the universities, especially in social science departments, where an awful lot of the studies that they were touting in the 1960s have been acknowledged to be, if not fraudulent, at least incorrect. And
Dr. McDonald, where is your book available now?
Well, it's published by Antelope Hill. It was banned on Amazon, predictably, after a couple of weeks. It may still be on Barnes & Noble, I'm not sure. But the main place to get it is Antelope Hill. And they've been very good to me, and it looks good. You know, it looks professional, and I'm happy with them.
You know, one thing that
Go ahead, Paul.
I was just going to ask one question. I'm going to throw it right back to you, Paul. I was looking at some of your work, Dr. McDonald, and one thing that strikes me is the psychological trauma that I think you brought out. You pointed to with the whites, especially young whites, have just suffered, come under attack because of this cultural critique. You know, the people that hate us, and we know who they are, the men that wear little hats, the small hats. The way things have been turned upside down in this country here, for instance, and I'm going to shut up and go right back to you, Paul, to converse with Dr. McDonald. I just see recently where there's only 20% white males are being admitted into medical school right now, and that number is going to even decrease, according to this book that Jason Robb put out called Dark Medicine. The powers that be that Kevin's talking about has said there are going to be no white people left in medicine because white medicine has been racist. So anyway, Dr. McDonald, before we go back to Paul about that, what do you, if you will, speak a little bit to the psychological trauma that the white, especially young white people, are suffering under. Go ahead, Dr. Mack, and Paul, you take it over here, brother.
Well, I tell you, I'd hate to be a young white person now, especially a young white man. And people have been getting onto this, you know. Just recently, Tucker Carlson was mentioning the war against white men. And so I think it's getting mainstream now. But yeah, it is extremely traumatic. Unless you have some sort of remarkable skill, they're not going to hire you. You'll be the last in line. We can only hope that this affirmative action rule that we have now. I mean, Trump's been trying to do something about that, the DEI thing. And I hope he succeeds. We'll see. There's a lot of resistance. You know, with universities, they may say, you know, we have no DEI, but in fact, those bureaucrats that administer admissions and things like that, they will do it. They are totally committed. And universities are full of these people. I mean, it's like a huge, huge bureaucracy that they have built up. And, you know, it's pervasive now. Universities are on the left.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, Dr. McDonald, I read the first edition of Culture of Critique, and one of the sections that so informed and influenced me was the section on immigration and the catastrophic changes that took place in and around 1965. 65, the U.S. changed its immigration law from the very solid Immigration Act of 1924, which controlled numbers, but also made sure that no area dominated, that it maintained the ethnic balance. And that's, of course, what we've lost since, would be a massive third world invasion. But it was interesting that you traced the same changes in Canada. There were 62, 63, and then 74. And then the same in Australia. Maybe we continue after the break.
Paul, we have to go to a break. Don't lose that thought, Paul. We have to go to the first break of the second hour. Be right back, folks.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Experience the untamed spirit of the American West with Range Magazine. Each issue is a visual journey featuring award-winning photography and compelling stories that capture the heart of ranching and rural life. Stay informed on the challenges and triumphs of those who live and work on the land. Subscribe today and receive quarterly editions delivered to your doorstep, and join a community that cherishes the enduring legacy of the Western frontier. Visit rangemagazine.com to subscribe.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to serve somebody. Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for holding on. Paul Fromm, my brother in arms, was talking about, he said, and I'm amazed, he's an intellectual, I shouldn't be surprised, he read through and through the very first edition of the Culture of Critique. And so, Paul, if you will, continue on what you were talking about before we went to the break, brother.
Yeah, we're talking about this sea change in immigration that occurred in the United States in 65, in Canada about the same time, and 1 year later in Australia with the end of the White Australia policy. I do know, I was just getting politically conscious and active in Canada back then, and the streets were not filled with people saying, oh, gosh darn, we're so bored with being a European country. We want to open the doors of the third world. There were some protests, but they were about the war in Vietnam and other issues. There was no public support or agitation for changing our country. And Dr. McDonald, I think you outlined very well, but maybe we can share that with Blood River Radio listeners. Who was behind this this colossal sea change in our policy?
Well, it was Jewish organizations all the way. I mean, the 1924 immigration law, as you said, was a great law. It was fair to all the ethnic groups in America, and so the Italians and Poles and Irish and everything else had a certain percentage of the population. And that was allowed then in the future immigration, those would be the same percentages. But also, as you said, they wanted to lower the total number of immigrants. People had enough. These people were not assimilated, and especially the Jews. The Jews that came were from Eastern Europe. They were Orthodox. They dressed differently. They were, completely clannish and off by themselves. And already, around the turn of the 20th century, they were, campaigning against the Christian religion in the public schools, for example. And that really got to Henry Ford's ire. I mean, he wrote the book, it's not a book, but it was a series of articles in Dearborn Independent, which was a newspaper he owned. And he talked about that. He talked about, the Jews and communism, talked about all the problems that Jews are already causing. This is like 1920. But as Paul was saying, there was no big swelling of interest in immigration. People didn't want it. And all the polls said that. But it doesn't matter. You're talking about a top-down thing. It's elite culture coming down. And, of course, they tried to make people feel guilty, that diversity was good and all that, and that it was unfair. And all these other countries, why shouldn't they have immigrants and all that? But I've expanded that, and it's even more conclusive now, I think. But as you say, also, it happened in Australia, it happened in Canada, it happened in all the English-speaking countries around the same time. And then, of course, quickly following that into Europe, proper Western Europe. This has been a disaster. When I started writing Culture Critique, I was focusing on his intellectual movements, like say, psychoanalysis. And psychoanalysis is very screwed up theory. It's completely unscientific, has no merit at all. But, it comes and goes. And I was just sort of people are not into psychoanalysis anymore. But the problem with immigration is they make facts on the ground. They have changed the country beyond belief. I mean, I grew up in the 1950s. It was all white where I lived. We never saw a black person. That's changed now. They just got their first black council member in the city council where I'm from, Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And, there's all these other groups around there. The Hmong, for example, that they brought in. And I'm sure there's a lot of, Latinos and everything else. So, it's changed the country dramatically. And it's against the interests of white people, obviously. I mean, I'm an evolutionist. When you bring in all these people, you're lowering the percentage of whites. You're lowering the birth rate, the relative birth rate of whites. And as you were saying, we are on the road to some kind of racial extinction. We have to wake up. I think more people are waking up, but it's a long process. And they just keep pushing. If the Democrats get back in, they'll completely open the borders. I just don't know how many people they can deport. But even now, so many are already citizens. It's not going to really change things. There's already a majority of non-whites in this country. So, we're in big trouble. And immigration is until then, I thought these Jewish intellectual movements were kind of, bad, in some way. Communism and psychoanalysis in the Frankfurt School. But it wasn't until I read about immigration that I really got angry. Okay, these people don't like us. They really are compromising our interests, and we have to be aware of that. And still don't see it. Most people are not aware of that. They keep it out of there. Even in 1965, the article that appeared in the New York Times to announce the signing of the bill was on page 35. In other words, they didn't emphasize this at all. It was buried in the news, and it really has been since then.
Especially in the United States, what were the arguments in 65 for changing the immigration law, the 1924 immigration law that had worked so well? I mean, how did the Jewish lobby groups persuade at least a majority of the Congress to make this huge leap?
Well, first of all, they lied. They said it would not change the ethnic balance of the country. And actually, the actual numbers in the 1965 bill were not that great. It probably wouldn't have changed the country. But as soon as you got that bill in there, they pushed for greater numbers. So at first, it was a small amount, and it was seen as a token. You know, this is just a token. We don't want to be racist. And they use that, they would say it was racist to keep all these people out. So we'll have, token immigrants from Asia, and we'll have token immigrants from Eastern Europe and various places. But that was the idea. They just lied. And Teddy Kennedy, famously, he wasn't Jewish, obviously, but he was the guy. It was the first 2 years in Congress, and they gave the bill to him because it was already a done deal. I mean, they knew it was going to pass, and they didn't even have hearings on it, public hearings on it. So it was a done deal, and again, the big lie that it won't change the ethnic balance of the country, because that was what the whole. Whole 1924 immigration law was based on. It won't change the ethnic balance. And that's what we wanted. We wanted a white country, 90% white, and stay that way. Now it's lucky to be 60% white. I'm not sure it is anymore. And, we are really, really under the gun.
That story about Senator Edward Kennedy particularly impressed me because he gave assurances to a couple of, I think they were Southern Democrat senators who were smart enough to have problems with the bill. And he said, oh, no, it's not going to change the ethnic balance. Well, decades go ahead, pass by. He's now the old lion in the Senate. He's no longer a young freshman senator. And to the end of his life, he was for amnesty and for massive immigration, and by this time it was obvious that he had lied. The Irish parts of Boston were no longer Irish; they were Third World. Yeah. And you would think if it was just a mistake, well, I got it wrong, and this is not the way I planned, he would have recanted and changed his mind. But he never did, which suggests to me that. These people were in on it all along for the destruction or the replacement of the European founding settler people of the United States and Canada.
Yeah, as you say, there were a few Southern senators who opposed it for good reason. They understood what might happen, and there's some the senator from Nevada, Black Salt. I forget his name, but he was saying.
Black Salt.
He predicted the whole thing, and he said if you pass this, it's going to be the greatest disaster that could possibly befall this country. It's treasonous, and he knew what he was talking about, but they didn't listen to him, and passed it. It was this, there was just air of liberalism at the time. It was just sad, but true.
Dr. McDonald, let's go to a bomb of the hour break. Dear people, Dr. Radio Family people, you get a guessy long break, bomb of the hour. Get about 4 minutes, get your coffee, use the restroom, whatever you need, but do not be late. Get back. Be right back, folks.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Jason Walker. Winter storms causing thousands of flight delays and cancellations around the United States. Travelers warned to expect a second storm ahead of one of the busiest travel time periods or travel periods of the year. Here's correspondent Bernie Bennett.
Friday storm is wrapping up in the Northeast, where the National Weather Service issued winter warnings throughout New York and Connecticut. Light snow and wind may persist across the region throughout Saturday, with near or below freezing temperatures in areas like Washington, D.C., Pittsburgh, and across the Northeast. Nearly 800 domestic and international flights in the U.S. have been canceled just before noon on Saturday, with just under 4,000 delays. On Friday, more than 1,700 flights were canceled with more than 9,000 delays, according to the flight tracking website FlightAware. Bernie Bennett reporting.
For the second time in the last couple of months, Thailand and Cambodia signing yet another ceasefire agreement, ending weeks of fighting over border disputes. Now, this agreement, effective earlier today, halts military movements and airspace violations. Thailand had conducted airstrikes in Cambodia as recently as earlier Saturday morning. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky plans to meet with President Trump this weekend in Florida to discuss a peace plan that would end the Russia-Ukraine
war. Zelensky says he'll travel to Florida for talks with the president on Sunday. The Ukrainian leader told reporters the two will discuss security guarantees for Ukraine and said the 20-point peace plan that's been under discussion is about 90% ready. The announced meeting suggests that negotiators have made significant progress. Last month, Donald Trump said he would meet with Zelensky only when the deal to the war is final or in its final stages.
Meanwhile, earlier Sunday, or Saturday rather, Russia struck Ukraine's capital with missiles and drones, at least two dead. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Hi, I'm Todd Avakian.
And I'm Andrew Del Rey with Union Home Mortgage. For us, helping families buy or refinance a home isn't just business, it's a calling.
We've been blessed to help people across this audience, including our friends Charlie and Erica Kirk and the Hugh Hewitt family. And we bring that same care and integrity to everyone we serve.
Whether you're buying your first home, refinancing, or consolidating debt, we'll walk with you every step of the way.
Visit AndrewandTodd.com or call 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies supplements. Changing the world one life at a time.
It's a balance of nature. It's really good. I really like it.
Going to the gym and exercise. My balance of nature is part of my routine.
Start your journey with Balance of Nature supplements. Go to balanceofnature.com and get 35% off your first preferred set with free shipping as a new preferred customer by using discount code BALANCE.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, this is one man that can't be reached by the woke generation. But anyway, there's two quick questions I'm going to throw out there we talked about during the break. One is I asked Dr. Kevin McDonald and my brother Paul, how do they do it? How do they do it over and over and over again? A small handful of Jews always get control of the government. They always get control of the media. They always get control of the banking. It just goes on and on. They just seem to do it. And I said, if we were organized a branch of the Ku Klux Klan, some kind of way, I guarantee I'm telling to you, there would be a Jew would be the Grand Wizard. I mean, they get control of everything. Oh, the second question I asked them how they do it. The second question I will ask Kevin, Dr. McDonald, since he's a psychologist, how powerful is the psychological attack been against our white people to turn probably half of the white people in the United States, 40 years old or less, especially white men, to condition them to hate their own self? They will fight you. People right here in Memphis, these white, young, good-looking white guys will fight you to the death over a black or an illegal. So those are two of the questions I ask. And I'm going to shut up and get the hell out of the way and let Dr. McDonald and my brother Paul take over. Go ahead, Dr. McDonald.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I added to the book is a greater emphasis on individualism as part of our psychology. I have a book out called Individualism in the Western Liberal Tradition. And it talks about this kind of thing. We tend to be individualists. That means we don't cohere with each other very well, like Jews do. Jews are very cohesive. They're very into their in-group. They have very strong allegiance to their ethnic group, religion, and it's very different from us. We tend to not see, if a Jew does something wrong, we don't say, well, you know, all Jews are that way. We tend to individuate, and we don't make in groups the way they are able to do. And so they've used this to fashion the propaganda. To make any kind of allegiance to the white race into something pathological. They don't have any problems at all having allegiance to their own group. But that's the other thing that really woke me up writing the first book was writing about the Frankfurt School. First of all, they were just a bunch of Marxists, no big deal. But then as time went on, and they saw that the working class voted for Hitler in Germany in 1933, around there. They decided it's not working class. It's not a class struggle. It's a racial struggle. And the bad guy then becomes white ethnocentrism. And so the Frankfurt School, the whole point of what they were doing then was to make it into a pathology. If you stand up for your race, if you side white pride and all that, there's something wrong with you. You had bad parent-child relationships, and they brought in psychoanalysis, which I said was a complete nonsense theory. It is nonsense, but it was very useful to them. They went through. They would have these samples of white people, and they would claim if the white person, stood up for his family, even was proud of being Irish or German or something like that in America, there's something wrong with them. You know, they had bad parent-child relationships, and the whole thing was a complete not. I mean, it was garbage science. And I have a long review of The Authoritarian Personality, which is their main book. And it was just complete made-up crap. But, you know, there it was. It was out there, published by the American Jewish Committee. And it was in universities. It made a big splash. And at the same time, they started to take propagandists very seriously. And they wanted to figure out how to fashion media messages in a way that'd be really effective. And this was at a time when Jews owned all three of the major networks. When I was growing up, that's all there was, you know, ABC, CBS, and NBC, that was it. And so they then, they set up offices in these companies, media companies, and they would, you know, make sure that there's nothing that they didn't want on the air, and they also wanted to make sure that certain kinds of propaganda were emanating from it. I mean, when I was growing, you know, as a young adult, the big TV show was All in the Family with Archie Bunker, and he's a racist, and he's working class, and he mispronounces big words, and he's uneducated, and we, you know, make fun of him. Because he doesn't like black people and Jews and stuff. But over the course of that series, he becomes, you know, his best friend's a Jew. He's black, he goes into business with a black person or something. You know, it was just all propaganda. You know, the guy behind it was Norman Lear. I mean, this is something that Henry Ford talked about, the fact that Jews controlled Hollywood. And they kept non-Jews out of it. And the only exception, as you mentioned, Walt Disney. But they ended up with that company, too. He did not like Jews. And they tried to take away his company many times.
And so I have one more question. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. I have one more question before go turn it back to Paul. I'm going to shut up. You know, in Blood River Radio, we always say, at the end of the day, we are all about solutions. So, Is there a psychological antidote? Do we have a psychological antidote? I know people like Blood River, TPC, we're doing all we can, but is there a way we can do more and work more efficiently? In other words, is there an antidote? Is there a can you be a master psychologist? Is there a psychological technique we could use just on the street, talking to young people, white people, to counteract? And I use the term an antidote to venomize the poison that you Jews have put into our white young people to make cause them to hate themselves. What is there a good way we could come that we could come to that that we could how can we get to that? I hope I'm making myself clear.
In my opinion, one of the best things to emphasize is anti-white hate. You know, when people are aware of that and see it and they're coming from high places like, you know, MSNBC or whatever they call it now. And anti-white hate has been shown by research studies to be very effective in sort of waking white people up. And so I've been very gratified that Tucker Carlson lately has been emphasizing that. Nick Fuentes does that. And that is the kind of message that needs to get into the mainstream. And you know, I wish you and I were in the mainstream more.
Yes.
Jared Taylor, people like that, James Edwards. But the problem is we're marginalized. But what's so great about someone like Tucker? He has a huge platform, and of course he is huge. He doesn't want identity politics, and that's bad. We have to say that identity politics is just fine for white people, you know, and the fact that other groups are doing it, you know, Tucker will complain about that. Oh, we shouldn't be doing identity politics. But we have to do it if we want to survive. And everybody else is doing it, and they're not going to stop. You know, someone like Ben Shapiro, you think he's going to stop being total Zionist nutcase advocate? Of course not. So we have to play the game the way they play it. And I think emphasizing anti-white hate is very important. And people have been emphasizing that in more mainstream venues now. And I think that's very good. That wakes people up. They hate you, is what they're saying. And that does not go down well with white people, even at this late stage.
That's excellent advice. And you've given me a great idea on what I'm going to do, the strategy I'm going to start using. We're getting ready to go to a last break of the hour. Was Paul, brother, take over? And I know the music will be playing any minute. Well, there it is. We'll come back from the break. Paul Fromm is going to come back and respond to everything we've been said, being Dr. McDonald. Be right back, folks.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio, thank you so much for hanging on, dear Blood River Radio family. We've only got a few minutes left. That's the last quarter, so I'm going to shut up. We've got Dr. Kevin McDonald on. We also have our brother Paul Fromm. So go ahead, Paul. You did some excellent commentary during the break. So go ahead and take off.
Dr. McDonald mentioned the Frankfurt School, and that's extremely important for understanding what happened to us. Very briefly, there were a bunch of communists in post-war World War I Europe, and Karl Marx had predicted that the workers would rise against governments in time of war, and it would be the workers primarily in the most advanced nations that would lead the revolution. Well, none of it turned out that way. I mean, all the nations of Europe, people rallied to their country. You know, in Russia for the Tsar, in England, you know, for king and country, in Germany, Gott mit uns. For, you know, it didn't work out that way, and the revolution, when it came, didn't come in Germany or in England, but it came in a relatively backward Russia. So the Frankfurt School, these Jewish communist intellectuals, try to figure out, okay, well, what went wrong? Well, it couldn't be old Hairy Face that was wrong. So they came up with basically an attack on, they figured it was patriotism, religion, and the family. If you could destroy those, then you could have the revolution. Well, these people, of course, got kicked out of Germany as soon as Hitler took power, and they came to America for the most part, and they were immensely effective in infiltrating institutions and bringing about radical feminism, attack on patriotism, attack on religion, and of course, eventually the LGBTQ thing. Dr. McDonald wrote a large article on the Frankfurt School about 15 years ago, and I found that so influential. Maybe he could tell us where people could get his article on the Frankfurt School, because I would say sit down, devote a few hours, and learn, because it'll blow your mind, and it will give you a real understanding of how things have happened in America.
Yeah, it's a chapter in my book. It's a chapter in my book, in the Culture of Critique in the third edition. But it's also at my website, kevinmacdonald.net. And if you go to kevinmacdonald.net and go to then take papers on or writing on Jews, there's a little link there. You can go, and then you scroll down and you'll find the chapter on the Frankfurt School, because it, as you say, it's very important to understand the influence of these people. They stopped being communists, stopped being Marxists, forget about the revolution, working class. In fact, that's really where the hatred of the white working class began, where they really, and who's lost most in the revolution that we've been undergoing? The white working class has. They're the ones that have to move out of neighborhoods. They their schools are gone to crap. They can't afford to live in the fancy suburbs and so on. And so they're the ones that absolutely have gotten screwed because of this revolution. And there's a real hatred there against white working class people, because they're seen as retrograde. They're not in favor of the LGBTQ thing. They're religious. They are patriotic. And all those bad things. But the fact is that this revolution has really undermined the family, and including especially working class families. And that is very sad to see that, because working class people, like my own parents, they were, good families, good people, and good values. But now they've been brushed aside, and it's almost like if you don't, get a degree, if you don't make a whole lot of money, you're not going to make it in this society anymore. It's really a sad situation, but Jewish money is the other part of this equation. Every part of the movement, whether the immigration, in the chapter on immigration, I talk about all these committees that were put together, and they were funded by Jews, and they did the work for the committee, but they would bring in non-Jews to front them, the faces. They had JFK write, they wrote a book that JFK put his name on. Hubert Humphrey, same thing. But they were actually published by the American Jewish Committee. And that's part of the propaganda. And the idea of the Jews as victims, the Holocaust whole thing, that's another thing that pervades our culture, is the culture that Jews, the idea that Jews are victims, that they have always been persecuted for no reason at all. And the Holocaust was just the most recent one. And when they think about the Holocaust, they don't even think of just Germany. They think of all white people as potential Nazis. And that really is motivated them for the immigration, because, you know, they see white people as potentially being anti-Jewish, just as happened in Germany. Then you have a homogeneous culture in Germany, rose up against the Jews. Well, homogeneous culture anywhere could do that. So what their solution is, diversity. Bring in all these other people, all these conflicts, and Jews will just be one of many groups, and they won't be as important, as, in a sense, they won't be as obvious. And so that really took over the Jewish community after World War II. And that was the big push, is to make America diverse, make it multicultural, make Judaism just one of many religions, one of many cultures, and everything will be wonderful. Well, we'll see, it's not, you know, and what Jews are finding out is that a lot of the people they're bringing in don't really like Jews very much, especially Muslims. But, you know, people like Latinos don't have any particular concern about the Holocaust. And so white people are the only people that really fell for that, you know, and it's part of individualism where you feel sorry for other peoples. You know, whenever there's an earthquake in Haiti or something, who are the ones that are adopting Haitian children? They're, you know, white people, especially white women. They're very empathic. And this empathy is a great psychological trait, but you gotta restrict it. You gotta restrict it to your family and your kin and your people, basically. But unfortunately, us individualists, it doesn't work that way. We spread it around to everybody.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, I think that's you know, that's really, really powerful insight. You know, the empathy and compassion for the underdog is very good in group. Like, you know, if you're walking down the street and you see a kid crying, you know, your empathy makes you want to go over and, you know, okay, what's the matter? Are you lost or something? And in group, that's really good. But, you know, if your response to famine in Ethiopia, and they're always having a famine over there,
yes,
the fratricidal slaughter in Somalia is, well, bring them over here. That's bad.
Exactly.
It's one thing to be compassionate. Yeah, but bring them over. But I don't know if Dr. McDonald would want to comment on this, but we're the victim card. It worked very, very well for a long, long time, but I'm seeing, at least up here in the Dominion of Canada, a tremendous turning against the Jews and Israel over the ongoing slaughter in Gaza. The polls suggest a rising disbelief in the Holocaust among people under 40, something like 25%, believe it didn't happen or was exaggerated. Yeah. Well, this is a sea change because they would have heard nothing but Holocaust propaganda since they were in kindergarten. I wonder if you might want to comment
on
that.
That's right. Very important.
2 minutes.
Yeah, and you know, especially the Democrat Party, you just can't even imagine someone who's a real liberal and wants to be nice to everyone, but then you got Jews just absolutely slaughtering, genociding the Palestinians. They want to kill them all, a lot of the people in the government. So, yeah, this is a sea change now.
They would love to kill us too, slaughter us too, if they get by with it. Dear Dr. McDonald and Paul, we have run completely out of time for this hour. I really been thrilled to have you two guys to come on tonight. You did an excellent job. I've got to stay in touch with both of y'all. Y'all do the same thing, stay in touch with me. And I hope y'all had a Merry Christmas, and I hope you two fellas have a great New Year. We've got a transition to
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. And your Blood Radio people.
Year.
we transitioned to this next third hour, picking up an economic expert by the name of Dr. C.W. So we'll be right back, folks. Hang on your seats. 4-minute break.